Kant and a Sovereignty of God Introduction. Session 0. 康德与神的主权第零讲导论。Why study Kant and the history of philosophy? 为什么要读康德和哲学的历史? Why study Kant and the history of philosophy? 为什么要读哲学和康德? Today is February 5th, 2025. 今天是2025年2月5号。For 6 months, I have been preparing and we've been recording video lectures on the general overall topic, philosophy, theology, and the sovereignty of God. 过去六个月，我在准备，我们也在拍摄一大套的讲座，总称哲学、神学与神的主权。Up to this point,Our basic text is this. 到目前为止，我们用的教科书就是这一本 John M. Frame, A History of Western Philosophy and Theology. 富兰姆，我的老师所写的《西方哲学和神学的历史》。Now that will change from this point on. 从今天开始，这一讲开始呢，有一点的改变。We will add other material. 我们会加其他的材料的especially from Cornelis Van Til's book The New Modernism 特别是来自范泰尔的那本新现代主义 published first in 1946 1946年出版的 Why would somebody bother to do a long series on the history of philosophy and theology?
为什么要花这么多时间来拍摄一套讲哲学和神学历史的录像视频讲座呢?
First of all, what does this series include?
首先我们先来讲一讲这一系列包括什么。
It is really a series of different series.
其实是一套的不同的系列
The first series
第一套
The title is simply Philosophy Theology And the Sovereignty of God
第一套的名字就是哲学神学和神的主权
It includes two chapters from this book by John Frame
这个系列呢最基本的系列包括这本书的两章
One chapter on Philosophy and the Bible
首先包含了哲学与圣经那一章。
Secondly, that series includes the chapter on Greek philosophy.
第二，这个系列也包括古希腊哲学那一章。
So when you see philosophy, theology, and the sovereignty of God on YouTube,
所以当你在 YouTube 看到哲学、神学与神的主权
It really refers to the first series of many series.
它所指的是第一个系列
including philosophy in the Bible and Greek philosophy.
包括了哲学与圣经和希腊哲学
Philosophy in the Bible lays out what the Reformed tradition considers to be the philosophical implications of doctrine.
哲学与圣经这一章呢就讲到我们改革中传统认为基督教的信仰带着怎么样的哲学的含义
For metaphysics, epistemology, and ethics
对形而上学的含义对知识论的含义对伦理学的含义
Then the second half of this series deals with the history of Greek philosophy
那么这个系列下半就是讲到古希腊的哲学
Of course, the famous names Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle.
当然最出名的名字包括苏格拉底、柏拉图和亚里士多德。
But before Socrates and after Aristotle, there were many, many other philosophers.
但是在苏格拉底之前、亚里士多德之后还有很多希腊的哲学家的。
Frame deals with them, and so do we.
富兰姆有处理这些哲学家的思想,我们也有处理的。 I may just point out that this second half of the first series particularly helps us face a philosophical problem.
让我指出，哲学、神学与神的主权的下半讲到希腊的时候呢，特别是让我们面对一个哲学问题的。
And it is called the one and the many problem.
啊，称为一而众，一而三的一，很多的众，一而众的问题。
In all the varieties and changes in the world, is there a one principle or person that ties everything and everybody together?
宇宙里面这么多不同的东西都在改变，有没有一个原则或者一个、啊、存在者把这一切的东西人、啊、改变都连接起来呢？
Now, the Reformed Christian tradition says yes.
我们改革中的基督徒说有的。
And that is the personal absolute God of the Bible.
就是圣经里面的绝对的位格性的神。
And he is a tri-personal personal absolute.
而且圣经里面讲的是三位一体的有位格的绝对的上帝。
Now,I'm not going to explain more here because this is simply a menu.
我不会再解释，因为这里只不过给大家一个菜单罢了。
Which brings me to a side point.
那我要这里顺便提一个、附带的重点。
We have many different series on apologetics and philosophy.
我们在护教学跟哲学有好几个不同的系列。
And there is one series which my students find particularly difficult.
有一个系列呢，我的学生们觉得非常的难读的。
And that is called Reformed Epistemology.
那个课程系列叫做改革中的知识论，
or it might be called the Metaphysics of Epistemology.
另外一个名字就是知识论的形而上学。
Now, why do I mention it here?
为什么我在这里提到呢？
Because the problems that this textbook deals withIn Greek, medieval, modern philosophy.
因为这本书里面提到的希腊的中世纪的现代哲学的问题呢，
The Reformed Christian tradition has provided answers from the Bible.
改革中的基督教传统从圣经里面提出答案的。
Because these philosophers are dealing with problems that have been plaguing them.For 2,000 plus years.
因为哲学家所讨论的问题令他们困惑了2500年以上的。
Now the series, The Metaphysics of Epistemology is taken from this book.
那么知识论的形而上学的系列的材料来自这本书。
Also written by John Frame.
也是波兰姆写的。 The name of the book is Cornelius Van Til, An Analysis of his thought. 这本书的书名是哥尼流范泰尔他的思想的分析。
Up to this point, neither of these two books have been translated into Chinese.
到目前为止，西方哲学神学史和哥尼流范泰尔都没有翻成中文的。
So I'm providing a oral video Chinese translation and interpretation.
所以我为这两本书呢提供了中文的翻译与解释。
I said that Greek philosophy deals with many problems, including the one and the many problem.
我说希腊哲学家处理很多不同的问题，包括一而众的问题。
This book has a chapter on the one and the many.
这本书呢，有一章是讲一而众这个问题的。
那么 in a way, it is really in the chapter on the Trinity.
就是在三位一体的那一章里面。
In the English book, it is chapter 5.、
在英文这本原著是第五章。
Now, in the Chinese video series, there is a section titled The One and the Many.
那么在我们的中文的视频有一章专门是、标签就是三、就是一而众的问题。
Now, that's the first series.
这个是第一个系列。
Philosophy, Theology, and the Sovereignty of God.
哲学神学与神的主权。
The second series in our philosophy series,
在我们哲学的系列里面第二个系列
The title is Medieval Philosophy and the Sovereignty of God. 就是中世纪哲学与神的主权。
This series deals with early, middle, and late medieval philosophy.
这个系列处理了中世纪的早期、全盛期、后期的哲学。
If you do read the English book, you will notice I've skipped over a particular section.
假如大家读英文的原著，你就知道我跳过了、这本书的部分。And that is a chapter on early Christian thought, 就是早期基督教思想的那一章。
This is not because the early church fathers, including Augustine, are not important.
这个不是因为早期教父一直到奥古斯丁不重要。
It's just because、my time and energy is limited.
是因为我的时间精力都有限 My health is、not becoming more vital 我的身体健康状态也没有越来越健壮
So I just want to provide the flow of history in philosophy as efficiently as possible
所以我尽可能用最高效率的方法把整个哲学历史的洪流走过一遍
Medieval philosophy is the story of the church'scompromise with Greek philosophy.
中世纪哲学的故事就是教会怎么样与希腊哲学妥协。
The third series, 第三个系列, the title is Renaissance, Enlightenment, and the Sovereignty of God.
题目是文艺复兴、启蒙运动与神的主权。
Now here, I deal with the following movements.
在这个系列里面我们处理了下列的思潮
Renaissance and Reformation
文艺复兴和宗教改革
The birth of modern secular philosophy
现代的世俗的哲学的诞生
Rationalism
理性主义
That is Descartes Leibniz, Spinoza, etc
就是笛卡尔莱布尼兹斯宾诺莎等等
Empiricism,
经验主义
Locke, Berkeley, Hume,
洛克、伯克莱、休谟
and there's one other, the seventh philosopher, Hobbes, who falls in between.
还有第七位哲学家霍布斯是这两者之间的。
After we deal with these seven philosophers from 1650 to 1800,
我们处理了这七位从1650到1800之间的哲学家之后呢
I add on half a chapter
我加上半章
titled Theology in Enlightenment
那章的原著里面的题目是启蒙运动里的神学
Now, the topics included in our series
我们的系列里面包括的是
The Birth of Modern Liberal Theology
现代自由派神学的诞生
Deism
自然神论
And the philosophy of、the literary writer Lessing
然后莱辛这位文豪的哲学
And you will notice Frame give the following challenge
你会注意到富兰姆发出这个挑战
Deism and the birth of liberal theology
自然神论和最早的自由派神学呢
is actually a more serious error or heresy than all the other heresies after that point.
自然神论跟最早的自由派神学呢比先前所有的异端更加的严重。
But why is it that nobody called a church council?
为什么没有人召开教会会议
Nobody condemned them as heresy. 没有人定他们为异端。
Why? 为什么?
The church was asleep.
教会在沉睡中。
The church assumed that the German and the British universities were competent specialists who trained their pastors.
他们就假设德国、英国等等这些大学呢，是学术界的专家，他们负责训练牧师的。
And so they left...The whole area of theology, philosophy, and preaching to the university to handle.
他们就把神学、哲学、讲道留给大学去负责。
The result?
结果呢?
250 years
of pastors trained in schools that don't believe the Bible. 250年来，牧师们接受的训练是在那些不信圣经的大学或者神学院里面的。
This problem remains to our day.
这个问题一直到今天。
And so when people, Chinese young men, go to the UK or Germany for their first degree or their doctoral degree in theology,
所以当华人青年去德国、英国留学读第一个神学学位或者攻读博士的时候，
Over 90% of the time, their professors and schools hold beliefs that the Bible is only written by men, it has mistakes, many of the doctrines that we hold precious for 2,000 years are wrong.
90% 的情况之下，这些华人神学生的老师们跟他们的学校，他们的信仰就是2000年来教会所珍贵的教义是错的，圣经是人写的，是有错的。
This has direct effects on seminaries in Taiwan, Hong Kong, Southeast Asia, North America, and even South America and Europe.
所以这个对华人神学院有重大的影响，包括在台湾的、香港的、东南亚的、北美洲的，甚至南美洲跟欧洲的华人神学院。
The effect on American seminaries, I don't have to tell you.
我不用跟你们说对美国神学院的影响了。
好, so this is how this series, the third one, ends.
所以这个第三个系列是这样的结束的。
Again, the name is Renaissance, Enlightenment, and the Sovereignty of God.
第三个系列的名字就是文艺复兴、启蒙运动和神的主权。
Today, on February 5th, 2025, I begin the fourth series.
今天2025年2月5号，我要开始拍录第四个系列。
The name?
名字就是
Kant and the Sovereignty of God,
康德与神的主权。
Let me preview a little bit,
我这里再预告一下。
Once we finish Kant and the Sovereignty of God,
当我们讲完了康德与神的主权之后，
We will have two series on 19th century philosophy and the Sovereignty of God.
我们会有两个系列讲19世纪的哲学与神的主权的。
And at least one series on 19th century theology and the sovereignty of God.
至少一个系列讲19世纪的神学与神的主权的。
Now you begin to see the importance and the influence of Kant.
然后你就会看到康德在哲学神学上的重要性跟他的影响了。
Today,We begin on Kant.
今天我开始拍录康德。
Why?
为什么？
A short answer.
用最短的方法回答你。
Why Kant?
为什么康德？
Because Kant is great and greatly destructive.
因为康德是很伟大，也带来伟大的毁灭性。
Destructive to the Christian's faith.
伟大的毁灭基督徒的信仰。
Because Kant and his followers directly impacted Karl Barth and other 20th century theologians.
因为康德和他的跟随者直接影响到巴特和其他20世纪的神学家的。
And Karl Barth is now revered unquestionably by evangelical Chinese professors.
现在巴特被华人福音派的教授毫无疑问的是里头地的尊敬的。
Let me draw this out a little bit.
让我详细的讲。
About 5 or 6 years ago,
可能五六年 or even 7 or 8 years ago, 七八年前，
in the late 2010s,
在2010年代的后期，
I began a series of videos done in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
我在马来西亚吉隆坡拍摄了一套的系列。
The videos were not very successful, and the classes were not well attended.
那个拍摄的不是最好， 来上课的人数也不多。But it was, up to that moment, the most important series I've ever done. 但是到那个时间为止呢，这个是我拍的最重要的系列。It has two different names, 有两个名字的。One is The New Modernism, 一个名字叫做新现代主义。And the second title is From Kant to Bart, 从康德到巴特是第二个名字。I was following the book New Modernism by Cornelius Van Til. 我是跟着范泰尔的新现代主义这本书来讲的。Now, Van Til is probably the only person who understood Kant's destructive influence on Barth, and of course understood Barth's destructive influence on the church. 范泰尔可能是唯一一个基督徒思想家了解到康德对信仰的破坏性，然后巴特对教会的破坏性。So I started chapter by chapter to explain the new modernism. 所以我就开始一章一章的讲新现代主义。Now, Van Til was trained in philosophy, especially idealism. 那范泰尔呢是受到哲学的训练，特别是唯心主义的哲学。Now, he's not an idealist, 他不是一个唯心主义者。But he uses words and concepts that we seldom have ever heard. 但是范泰尔用的字、用的名字，我们一般很少会听到的。And so sometimes I find myself explaining two pages of the book, two evenings, three evenings, repeating and repeating. 所以有的时候我解释书里面的两页，连续三天晚上重复又重复。And it was barely understandable by the students. 讲了三次，学生稍微明白一点。I would say that my students were very brave to come and chew on rocks, on stones. 我说我的学生很勇敢来啃石头。Around that time, or shortly after, I offered a course at the International Theological Seminary in Los Angeles. 大概那个时间或者是之后呢，我在洛杉矶的国际神学研究院呢开了一门的课程， actually two, 两次的课程， titled Modern Theology and Modern Theology 2, 就是现代神学和现代神学二。Now, these video series may not be available online. 那这些的视频系列呢大概在网上找不到。But don't worry, I'm incorporating that material into our present series. 不要紧，我现在把当时所教过的东西放在我们这个大系列里面的。During that time, as I offered these two courses at ITS, 当时我在国际神学研究院开这两套课程的时候、the materials I consulted, 我所参考的资料 in addition to Cornelius Van Til's New Modernism, 除了范泰尔的新现代主义以外 included the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, 包括斯坦福哲学百科全书 Wikipedia,、and Wilbrandt, A History of Philosophy,另外一本呢就是西方哲学史的，这本是中文的、翻译本、是德国的哲学家 Wilhelm Windelband 文德尔，对不起，是德国的哲学家文德尔班写的、罗达人翻译、这本书呢是台湾的商务印书馆发行的，第一版是1998年出版。原著是 Lehrbuch der Geschichte der Philosophie, 西洋哲学书。那在那段时期呢，我就尽可能学习浓缩哲学百科全书、范泰尔、文德尔班他们所写的东西。So I tried to condense during my teaching, the material I learned from Van Til's book,The Encyclopedias of Philosophy and Windelband's History of Philosophy. Since I found that my students could hardly understand Van Til's book, The New Modernism, 我既然发现我的学生差不多不能够明白范泰尔的新现代主义， since my students couldn't understand how Kant, Hegel, Kierkegaard, etc. influenced Barth.
既然我发觉我的学生很难了解到康德、黑格尔、齐克果和其他19世纪哲学家他们怎么影响到巴特
Then I decided to do it all over again.
那我就决定从头再做一次。
This time, I do not start with Kant.
这次我不是从康德开始。
I adopted John Frame's book.
我就采用了弗兰姆这本书。
A History of Western Philosophy and Theology.
我就用了我的老师弗兰姆的西方哲学与神学史。
The reason I do this series.
所以我现在在做这一套的系列。为什么做呢?
It's because what is Kant's problem?
康德的问题在哪里? Why is he destructive? 为什么他这么破坏性呢?
Because it began in a Garden of Eden with Eve and Adam.
问题源自伊甸园夏娃跟亚当
The autonomy that humans claim for their thought
人类、坚持自己的思想独立自主
Men and women don't want to submit to God and his word
人不愿意服在神跟神的话的权柄之下
And so this autonomy And then, obviously, is the foundation of all philosophy, beginning with the Greeks.
所以这个自主就是所有哲学的基础，从古希腊哲学开始。
And by the way, also from the earliest of Chinese philosophy as well.
那么中国的哲学历史从最早也是一样的。
The assumption, the presupposition, the commitment is that of autonomy.
就是坚持人的自主。
Since...I discovered that I had to start over again. Then I adopted Frame's book.
既然学生听不懂新现代主义，我就用哲学历史来铺成那个背景。
Today we finally get to Kant.
今天我们终于来到康德了。
You will have a deeper question.
你会有更深的一个问题的。
Why bother?With Kant and Barth.
为什么要讨论康德和巴特呢?
I'm going to answer your question through personal biography.
现在我从我个人的心路历程来回答。
In 1965, at age 14, I dedicated my life to full-time ministry.
1965年,60年前,我14岁。我奉献自己全时间侍奉。
10 years later in 1975,
十年之后1975年
I graduated from Westminster Theological Seminary.
我从威敏斯特神学院毕业
and received the first degree from there, Master of Divinity.
从那里得到第一个学位道学硕士。
Prior to Westminster, I graduated from the University of Pennsylvania, the History Department.
在威敏斯特之前我是在宾州大学历史系毕业的。
So I studied the history of philosophy in a purely secular anti-Bible university.
所以我在一个完全反对圣经世俗大学里面读哲学。
Then I entered a rigorously biblical school to study doctrine.
然后我到一个进入到一个严谨坚守圣经的神学院接受圣经和教义的训练。
During my 4 years at Westminster, I went through Van Til, apologetics, etc. in a cursory manner. I was not a good student.
在那四年里面，我不是一个很好的学生。走马看花的听了范戴尔的课，走过了神学、护教学等等。
So the level of understanding I had of Karl Barth.
所以当时我对巴特的理解有什么到什么程度呢
？Well, I tell you what level.
我告诉你什么程度。
You can find that in my missions professor's book, Harvey Kahn, Contemporary World Theology, A Layman's Guidebook, Chapters 1 and 2.
你今天可以读到我的宣教学老师、简和培所写的《现代神学论评》
第二版是认识现代神学的第一章跟第二章。By the way, the Chinese edition left out chapter 1 in the first edition. I provided chapter 1 to the publisher. So today, the Chinese edition included the original first chapter. 中文呢本来没有第一章的。赵中辉跟宋华中牧师翻译的。我提供了第一章的翻译稿给改革众神出版社。所以他们现在这个认识现代神学是包括了我翻译的第一章的。那个是我当时1975年了解的程度。That was the level of understanding I had of Kanten Kalbart.Roll over 10 years, 1985, 1975, 现在到1985, 10年之后。I attended a seminar in Hong Kong held at the YWCA on Waterloo Road. 我参加了一次的研讨会在香港九龙窝打老道的女青年会举行的。The Gospel and Chinese Culture Seminar, 福音与华人文化的研讨会。Now, it was an excellent seminar as seminars go,作为一个讲座是一个非常卓越的讲座 because the 15 speakers for that seminar were isolated for 3 days prior at the Chongqing College Dormitory. 因为那15位的讲员包括我呢就有三天在会前隔置在孤立在中文大学重庆神学院的宿舍。And there we hashed out and rehashed the program.那个地方我们有热烈的讨论重新组织过整个大会 的节目的。The speakers included folks that are older than myself, 讲员包括一些比我年纪大的 Jonathan Chow, 赵天恩 those who were slightly older or equal in age as myself, 有些是比我大一点点或者年纪差不多的、Dr. 林志平And Huang Xiaoguang of Taiwan, 来自台北的林志平和黄孝光教授 Carver Yu, 余达新 who later became one of the presidents of China Graduate School of Theology, 后来是中国神学研究院的院长之一 Milton Wan, 温伟耀 who after teaching at CGSD, China Graduate School,Now is a professor at Chinese University. 后来在中神教过之后在中文大学重庆神学系任教了。殷兴良梁彦成 a philosopher, 一个哲学家吴中文、and then 林荣宏、林荣宏、Wing Hong Lam, and many others, 还有很多其他的。Wing Tai Leung, 梁荣泰 Breakthrough Organization Hong Kong, 突破In 1985, during that seminar, 在1985年在那个研讨会 I had a rude awakening, a shocking discovery. 我有了一次的觉醒震撼了我。我发现了什么呢 I discovered that I learned many of these concepts in my 19th century European intellectual history class at the University of Pennsylvania.我发现我在宾州大学读的那个19世纪欧洲思想史读很多的概念。Now those would of course be the objects of critique by Cornelius Van Til, Robert Knudsen and so on at Westminster Seminary. 这些的概念当然就是威敏斯特的范泰尔还有其他的护教学教授 Robert Knudsen 他们批判的对象。But now in Hong Kong, 但是现在在香港 1985 年My colleagues, my contemporaries, are adopting these concepts to explain Chinese culture for the Chinese church.
我的同代把这些世俗的概念拿来解释华人文化，来教导华人教会。
Shortly after that, or around that time, 那个大会之后，在那段的时期，I made some decisions.我做了一些的决定。Number one, 第一 when the Chinese church, particularly the church in China needs, 中国教会华人教会最需要的 is a strong stand on the inerrancy of the Bible, 就是坚持圣经无误这个立场。Now, of course, inerrancy is only part of a larger doctrine of the Bible. 当然圣经无误是圣经论里面的一部分不是全部。I use that as a shorthand, 我用这个作为简称的。If inerrancy
Inspiration, Infallibility, Inerrancy, Insufficiency of the Bible, 圣经的末世无谬无误完备性是华人教会所需要的。If these are what the Chinese church needs, then in terms of English books on theology, which the Chinese church need, 那么假如我们综览一下华人中国教会需要的神学书籍 ,What are those books that the church in China needs? 中国教会需要的是哪一些的神学书呢 ?I made a rough conclusion, 我做了一个简陋的结论。The vast majority of this broad mission field, the church in China, needs conservative books roughly published before 1980.
广大的合唱中国教会需要的大概是1980之前出版的英文的神学书籍。
Because during that time, most books that we can buy were written by people who believe the Bible. It's inspiration and inerrancy.
因为1980之前我们能够买得到的神学书福音派的大部分都是相信圣经的末世跟无误的作者所写的。
They could be Reformed, Dispensationalist, Baptist, Arminian.
这些书的作者可能是改革宗的、时代论的、浸信会的、阿米念的。
But they held a common belief.
但他们有一个共同的信念。
The Bible is God's word, every word of it.
圣经是神的话，每个字都是的。
After 1980, that's no longer the case.
1980之后不是了。
Fuller Seminary gave up inerrancy in 1970.
1970, Fuller 神学院已经不再信圣经无误了。不再要求他们的教授这样相信。
By 1980, 到了1980, Bernard Bram in the United States, Carver Yu in Hong Kong had published their Barthian Manifesto.
美国的兰姆就是基督教释经学 的作者香港的余达清都已经发表了他们的对巴特的信仰 的告白。
And since that time,
从那个时候开始
US Evangelical PublishersStarting with University Press, began publishing books that are written by authors that don't believe the Bible's inerrancy.
美国的福音派出版社以校园出版社领先，出版了很多不信圣经的作者的作品。
Result?
结果是什么呢？
Campus Evangelical Publisher in Taiwan,
台湾的校园出版社
would publish the translations of these books,
就会翻译出版这些的书。
Now, so I began to think, what must I do?
我就在想我能够做什么呢?
I began to share my concern with older pastors and contemporary pastors.
我就跟老的牧师、上一代的长辈和同代的牧师分享 我所关注到的问题。
Older pastors support me 100%.
老人家完全支持。
One day out of the blue,I received a $100 check to China Horizon from Reverend Stephen Chan, the late Reverend Stephen Chan, author of many, many Chinese Bible commentaries.
有一天我突然间收到加拿大的陈忠道牧师寄来100块的支票奉献给中华展望。
I was stunned.
我震撼到
Why does a notable author of an older generation send a check to this younger pastor whom he has never met.
为什么陈忠道牧师会寄上支票来一个晚辈他也不认识的没有见过的呢
I also shared my concern with people my age.
我也跟我同年纪的牧师分享
They seem to agree in principle, but nobody wants to do anything.
他们同意但是没有采取行动
In 1993年I made a second dedication in my ministry.
我做了一个全时间奉献的第二次的觉知。
I was very painful at that time.
当时我非常的痛苦。
I was a pastor of a church of 1,000 people.
当时我是1,000人的教会的主任牧师。I told God, 我跟上帝这样说。
The passion of my life,
我一生最有负担的
is to defend the inerrancy of the Bible.The livelihood, the faith of the Chinese church.
就是为华人教会信仰的根基做回复的工作，也就是圣经的鼓舞。 That was 1993. 那个是1993年. In 1995, I left that position. 1995年我离开的那个的岗位. 1997, I left the city and moved to Los Angeles. 1997年离开了那个城市搬到洛杉矶. And very soon after that, 不久之后, God opened the door for me to serve in Southeast Asia, Malaysia and Singapore in particular.
上帝就开门给我在东南亚服侍, 特别是新加坡跟马来西亚。
By 2005, 到了2005年, now that's a full 30 years after I graduated from seminary with a Master of Divinity.
就是我在神学院大学硕士毕业了30年之后,
by 2005, 2005年, Penang, Malaysia,
马来西亚槟城,
I have been giving short talks.
我被邀请讲一些短短的讲座
on apologetics, 是关于护教学的. My colleague told me,
我的同工跟我说,
if we don't know what we believe, how can we defend what we believe?
我们假如不懂我们信的是什么, 那我们怎么去做护教, 怎么维护我们所信的呢?
So around that time, for the next 10 years, I offered 15 courses, short courses, in Bible, theology, counseling, worship, and apologetics, and so on.
所以我在接下来的10年呢, 我开的大概15个课程, 圣经, 神学, 辅导, 敬拜, 护教学等等。
By 2015 or so, 到了2015年, now I've graduated 40 years from seminary by then,
我那个时候已经从神学毕业了40年了,
I have taught these 15 courses over and over again, many times in many countries, from Japan to New Zealand.
这些课程我已经教了好几次了,从日本到新西兰.
Then I changed the direction slightly.
我就开始稍微改变我的方向。
Remember I said that my burden is to introduce to the Chinese church solid books and authors that believe the Bible dating 1980 or earlier.
记得我的负担就是向华人教会介绍那些1980之前的作者,他们是信圣经的作者.
Now there are a few exceptions.
有几个例外,
John Frame lived a long time. He was younger. Clowney also didn't die until the 1990s.
当然有一些作者在1980之后还是活着的, 弗兰姆·克罗尼等等,
他们是例外。 Jay Adams also didn't die until much later.
亚当斯也是后来很久之后才回天家的。
So I began to record book after book which I was assigned to read at Westminster in the 1970s.
所以我这一本一本的书口头翻译, 这些书都是我读神学院的时候老师指定我们要读的。
Louis Berkhof, History of Christian Doctrines.
伯克夫, 基督教教义史.
I retranslated the book.
我从头再翻译过.
Louis Berkhof, Systematic Theology, including the introductory volume.
伯克夫系统神学, 包括导论,
1,000 pages, 1,000页. Calvin, Institute of the Christian Religion.
加尔文基督教要义.
Now, book 4 was translated only sketchily.
卷4我翻译的比较简陋, 比较选择性.
Other major volumes,
其他重要的大块头的书,
Herman Ritterbos, The Coming of the Kingdom,
天国的来临,
新约圣经的书, Richard Gaffin, Resurrection and Redemption,
复活与救赎, 现在有中文版了,
Edmund Clowney, Preaching and Biblical Theology,
克罗尼讲道与圣经神学,
Edmund Clowney, Unveiled Mystery,
解开奥秘,
Edmund Clowney, Call to the Ministry, Taming Yuni. These have been translated into Chinese in writing.
这是已经有中文翻译本,
but I'm still not satisfied because I sat under these authors. They were my professors.
因为我, 上过这些老师的课, 所以我从头再翻译过.
Some of the most difficult courses I've ever taught, according to my students,
根据我的学生们呢, 所告诉我的, 我开了这么多的课程, 最难的是哪几课呢?
One would be early Christian doctrine,
其中一个是早期基督教教义史。
A second one,
第二, Reformed Epistemology.
改革中知识论 or the metaphysics of epistemology, 或者称为知识论的形而上学 based on this book, Cornelius Van Til, An Analysis of Historic, 根据这本书讲的哥尼流范泰尔他的思想的分析。The third most difficult course I've ever taught, 我教的最难的第三个课程 is the New Modernism, 就是新现代主义。The fourth one would beModern Theology 1 and 2. 第四就是现代神学1跟2。No. 所以我讲了这么多的个人的历史。I went through all these personal history to you. Is to tell you that the Chinese church today, her faithis being threatened at the foundations. 所以因为华人教会今天他的信仰在最基础上是受到威胁的。I believe that Cornelius Van Til can tell us why. In the clearest, most solid way. 范泰尔是最清楚的,最扎实告诉我们为什么。Of the many theologians floating around influencing Chinese minds, Bart is the most profound.
现在影响华人思想最深的神学家就是 Bart.
In order to understand Bart, you must understand Kant.
假如要了解 Bart, 你必须了解康德。
To understand Kant, you must understand Greek and medieval and modern philosophy.
要了解康德，你就必须了解古代、中世纪和现代神学 ，up to Hume， 一直到休谟。
To understand all of this, ancient, medieval, modern, Kant and Bart，
而要了解全部古希腊、中世纪、现代康德 ，Bart，
you need to understand what happened in the Garden of Eden。
你必须了解到伊甸园发生了什么事。
Man and woman insisting on autonomy.
人坚持自己的自主。
Now, there are other books on the market that gives you a Christian perspective on philosophy.
那市面上有其他的基督教的书籍啊，处理基督教与哲学的。
R.C. Sproul, Schopenhauer.
Ideas have consequences. 哲学理念是有后果的。那个是那本书的名字。
J.P. Moreland and others from Biola University.
Biola University, 那些的哲学、护教学的教授们。
There is something that these authors simply do not provide, but only Van Til and John Frame do.
这些作者的作品啊，就是漏掉一个东西，只有范泰尔跟富兰姆等等才能够提供的。
And that is to take a piercing look at human autonomy and its impact on human thought through and through history.
就是要看到人的自主怎么影响到人类的思想或者哲学。
Because autonomy is the heart, core, nucleus of sin.
因为自主是罪的核心。
People like R.C. Sproul and Michael Horton,
斯鲍尔啊、霍尔顿等等啊
they rely too much on logic.
他们太多的依靠逻辑。Now, Van Til uses logic also. 范泰尔也用逻辑的
but in a different way.
但是用法不一样。
Fuller Seminary gave up apologetics long time ago.
富勒神学老早就不再教护教学了。They teach
Christianity and philosophy.
他们教的是基督教与哲学。
J.I. Packer, my advisor mentor for a long, long time, the late J.I. Packer,
已故的巴克
in his systematic theology lectures, he would say this.
他在他的系统神学课程里面在课堂上这样说。
Oh, Van Til? Well, Van Til is an old man in Philadelphia. You walk by, you tip your hat, and you walk away.
他说范泰尔呢是在费城的老人家，你经过他的时候，你把帽子脱一下，敬礼就走过了。
Aquinas Bart, Packer has a lot of good things to say.
那么对于 Aquina, Bart 呢？巴克会讲很多的好话的。You see, Packer came
to the Puritan Reformed tradition lately as an Anglican.
巴克是一个圣公会的牧师，后来学到了改革中跟清教徒的神学。
So his contribution to the global church is solid and profound.
他对全球教会的贡献 是很深的，很广的。
But he was not trained as a Reformed Presbyterian.
但他不是受到改革中长老会的神学训练的。
There are advantages to this.
这个是有它的好处。
That is why I use his book on the Puritans more than I would use anything published by, let's say, Reformation Heritage as a first introductory text.
好处就是我一定会用巴克的对清教徒的介绍多过用清教徒出版社的清教徒书来介绍清教徒。Because Packer is an adult convert, 因为巴克是成年人才学到清教徒受到改变的。
So he brings a fresh perspective, a historical perspective.
所以巴克对清教徒研究带来是新鲜的、一个历史的观点视角。
总之呢 ,in conclusion, you need Van Til to understand Kant, Barth,and the contemporary seminary scene.
你需要范特尔才能够了解到康德、巴特和当代神学界。
You can still ask the question, why is Barth so important? I never heard of Karl Barth or Barth.
你说我从来没听过 Karl Barth, 那个名字 不念 Barth, 念 Barth, 那 H 不发音的。为什么这么重要?
Brothers and sisters and friends,
弟兄姐妹朋友们。
Karl Barth's greatest work, the longest work, Church Dogmatics.
巴特的巨著教会教义学
is currently being published in Chinese translation.
目前的中文翻译本正在一本一本的出版。
Published by no other than Tian Dao Christian Media Association.
出版社就是天道传播，天道出版社。
天道 published very conservative, solid books in the 1980s and 90s.
天道在1980年代、90年代所出版的书是非常扎实的 including Reformed books, 包括改革中的书籍
Louis Burkhoff's Summary of Christian Doctrine,
伯克夫基督教教义概要
Philip Hughes' Interpreting Prophecy,
我的老师所写的预言细微 and so on, 等等
But today,
今天
we live in a differentworld.
我们活在不同一个世界里。
I'm speaking it in 2025, one month or less after the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States.
今天是2025年2月份，是美国第47任总统就职之后的三个礼拜。
The world is changing fast, at least the world outside of China.
至少中国以外的世界变得非常的快。
The world of theology, the church is changing fast.
神学教会的世界也转得非常的快。
So, in the last 2 years,
过去两年,
as I have settled down in Kuching, Sarawak,
我在沙拉越古晋市定居之后,
after I settled my affairs, local church affairs,
我把本地的教会事宜安顿的时候呢,
I made my first priority.To explain the history of philosophy on video.
我最重要的、首要的、优先的工作就是用视频来解释哲学历史。
Of course, from Cornelius Van Til and John Frame's perspective.
当然是从范戴尔跟弗兰姆的观点角度来解释的。
First priority.
最高的第一个优先秩序。
By the way, the second priority,
第二个优先秩序呢就是
is to explain the history of music, history of hymns, and history of oratorios from a theological perspective.
就是从神学的观点来解释圣诗的历史、音乐的历史，还有这个神曲和清唱曲、教会里的圣乐大作品的历史和神学意义。
This is my story.
这个是我的故事。
This is why, after finishing up Renaissance Center. This is why after finishing up the Renaissance and Enlightenment, we're now launching the series Kant and Philosophy.
所以我在讲完了文艺复兴跟启蒙运动之后，现在我们开始了康德的哲学与神的主权。
Now may I just add one final word, 最后 一句话。The philosopher after Kant, his name is Fichte, F-I-C-H-T-E.
康德之后那个哲学家费希特
is very important, 很重要。But normally, people don't spend too many pages in their books on him.
一般来说，神学家、历史学家也不会花很多时间去解释费希特的。
But as I dug into Fichte, I found that some of the things that he has done is equally damaging as Kant.
我发觉他所带来的毒害跟康德一样的严重。
So I would very much enjoy explaining to you the destructive significance not only of Kant, but Fichte. Then we get to Hegel and many other 19th century philosophers.
所以我会很愿意很乐意的介绍费希特，然后才讲黑格尔的哲学。
Because normally people go from Kant to Hegel.
因为一般来说讲完康德，老师们就会讲黑格尔的。
But this middle figure is highly significant.
这个中间人物是很重要的。
God disappears, me, man, self disappears, and the knowledge of the world disappears.
上帝消失了，我人自我灵魂消失了，对世界的认识也消失了。
That is roughly the story of Kant in 19th century philosophy.
这个就是19世纪康德之后的哲学的故事。